Let's look in Genesis 7 and look in verse 1. I'll read and then we'll pray. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. It's been a joy to already be in your house. Lord, we pray that the songs that have been sung have honored you and brought glory. Lord, that was the whole idea, was just to honor you this morning in the singing. And Lord, so I pray the choir singing, special singing. I pray as Miss Sarah sung that that affected each heart as it did my heart. That, Lord, just the least that we could do. I mean, we just should strive and that to honor you and to repay you because of what you've done for us. But Lord, as it's now the preaching hour, I pray that you would help us, touch us, anoint us afresh. And that from heaven, and Lord, we certainly just need some help. Lord, but we're looking to you to have that help, Lord, because you said in John 15:5, without you, we can do nothing. And so we understand that this morning. Save somebody, help somebody, and Lord, we'll give the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. As we look in Genesis 7:1, as Noah has built the ark, and God at this time has told Noah, he said right here, unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now if you look at that and you read that scripture for what it says, the Lord was already on board that ark. He says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. That's kind of like if I'm at the house, I'd open my door and say, well, come on in and get a seat. Hey, can I tell you, God was already on that boat before Noah ever got on. Amen. And so you read the rest of this, and God put him on that ark and got him ready, and God waited 7 days before he shut the door. Let me say today that Noah got on that ark for one reason and one reason only, and that was to avoid and that the judgment of God that was coming. So with that being my forethought today, I want to preach an old message that I've preached at least one other time that I can remember on the old ship of Zion. As I looked at this and I thought about the figurative ship and ark that we get on in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we sing that old song sometimes out of the hymnals up here, the old ship of Zion. Ain't you glad if you're saved today that you got on board? Amen. Ain't that right? Are we awake this morning? Amen. Hey, I'm glad and that to be saved. Listen, that word Zion, and I began to think about that. I had to look it up exactly what Zion meant. Zion is the city of David. And according to Luke chapter 2, listen, the city of Bethlehem is the city of David. Hey, can I ask you this morning, knowing what this season is, do you know where Jesus was born at? Do you know what little city our Savior came out of? Listen, what was it that those angels said over there? In Luke chapter 2, for unto you is born this day, where in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:4, I said that Joseph went up unto the city of David, which is what? Bethlehem of Judea. Listen this morning, you need to get on the old ship of Zion if you're not saved today, because listen, God is crying and saying, get on board while you have opportunity. Get on board while I come by. Because listen, just as it was in the days of Noah, you know what happened? God finally had enough. He finally shut the door on the ark and made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and destroyed everything. But you can get on board and get saved. Amen. I want to look at some things about this old ship of Zion that we're preaching on. First of all, can I say that this ship is old? Amen. Can I say that it's been around for quite a while? Listen, as I thought about this, I thought about, you know, it's been a long time
that the story's been told about Christmas. We've been telling the Christmas story ever since Jesus was birthed into this world. Ever from the time that heaven rolled back over there to them Judean shepherds over there that was keeping watch over their flock by night. And listen, and them angels said, "Behold, he's born to you in this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And listen, and then heaven began to sing. That's an old, old story, ain't it? Listen, all the things that Jesus done, the story of Christmas, the story of his life, all the healing, all the sickness that he took care of, all the demons that he cast out, everybody that he got saved and forgave. Listen, I've heard them stories all my life. That book's been around forever, friend, and that story's old. Listen, the story and that of the cross, ain't you glad that that's an old, old story? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me now. Listen, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, when the Bible said, and they took him to the place which is called Calvary, and there they crucified him between two malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Hey, can I tell you the story of the cross? It's an old, old story. Listen, today you heard, some of you are sitting in here up in your 80s, and you've heard that same story. It's not changed that Jesus went to Calvary to die for sinners like me and you. Listen, that old story will never change. Listen, there's an old song that says, "Oh no, the old story will never grow old." I'm glad today I can listen to that story about what Jesus done for me and done for you over and over and over again. Hey, but thanks be to God for the story of where he conquered death, and the tomb's empty this morning. Praise be unto God. Thank God. Amen. I feel like preaching now. Amen. Oh, thank God. Boy, I'm telling you, there's an old story about an empty tomb. Folk believe that Christmas. Folk believe that Jesus was a good man. And folk believe that he went to the cross. But boy, when you start talking about that empty tomb, they ain't so sure about that. They ain't so sure that he got up on his own power. But I want you to know something. There's a story that goes far older than that. Did you know that there was a day in heaven before this thing was ever created that God said, "Son, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to go." And I always, in my mind, I always think about, well, when God created this thing. And y'all have heard me say this. He rests back on nothing. Spun us into existence and spoke us into existence. And when he created that little place over there that was called Mount Calvary, I kind of wonder if God didn't shed some tears that day, because he said, "Right there is where my son's going to have to die at." Hey, can I tell you, it's an old ship that we're riding on today. Hey, but can I tell you, it's going to get us there. Hey, I'm telling you, there's no other way to get into heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ today. Hey, John 14 and 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Listen, it's not by religion. It's not by denomination. It's through a man called Jesus Christ. And he'll save you if you'll come to him today. He told, the Lord told Noah, "Come, thou and all thy house, and get on the ark." Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad he told me to come one day and get on that boat. I'm traveling on that boat today. Hey, man, it's an old, old ship that's carrying me, but it's going to carry me through. Thank God for that. Listen, can I tell you, number two, that ship is carrying precious cargo today, ain't it? What's it carrying? Well, it's carrying me and you, ain't it? Do you know that the Lord considers us precious today? I want you to look. I want you to look. Do you know that Noah only got seven other people besides him on the boat? But who did he get? Who'd Noah get on that boat? You let me call it the boat today, won't you? I mean, that's what the ark was. It was a ship. It was a boat. Now listen, who did he get on that boat? Well, he got Miss Noah. And he got Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And he got their wives on that boat. The thing that was most precious to him, he got on that ark. Let me tell you, the best place for you to start finding people to get on the ark, start in your house. Start in your house. Start with them young'uns that you got. Start with that husband or that wife that may not know the Lord Jesus and how precious he is. And I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But listen, that ship is carrying
precious cargo. In Acts chapter 27, when Paul was on that ship over there that was in the midst of that storm, listen, you want to know why I believe that ship made it through? I believe it made it through with everybody that was on it. Because the Apostle Paul was on that ship. Can I tell you that we're just as important to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as the Apostle Paul was to the Lord. In that day, He's bought me. He's paid for me. Listen, in the midst of that storm, when them disciples come to the Lord and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And He stands out on the bow of that boat and says, "Peace, be still." Listen, He cared and loved those men as He loves me and you today. Day were precious cargo. You know what the word precious means? Of great value. Miss Sarah stood up here and sung about everything that Jesus gave for us. Listen, we're precious to Him today. He saved you if you come and asked Him. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." He loved you enough to die for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, I'm precious to the Lord. Can I tell you, this ship ain't going to go down because of the cargo that's on board today. I want you to understand that. I'm redeemed. I'm blood-bought. I'm kept by the power of God. Listen, I want you to understand that. He said, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He redeemed me. What do you do with things that are precious to you? What do? Well, you protect them, don't you? You keep them. So that means precious, you'll put it up. Well, if it's real precious to you, you'll get a safe and put it in a safe. If it's real precious to you, you'll fight for it. If there's need be. You'd fight for that little one right there, wouldn't you? You'd do whatever it took, wouldn't it? I believe that with all my heart. You'd fight for every one of these right here, wouldn't you, Mitchell Gallion? I believe you would, son. Listen, you mom and daddy's in here. I believe you'd fight for your children, and you should. You know why? They're precious to you. They're of great value. Can I tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but He's going to float that boat in one day, and we're going to get there because we're precious to Him. But let me ask you something. Number three, how precious is He to us? You know, that's a precious captain in driving that boat, ain't it? Is it the primitive quartet that sings that old song? "He is to me more precious than gold." Hey, listen today. Not only are we precious to Him, and not only does He care for us. I got to looking at that old song in the Redback book, the lifeboat. At one point, I believe it calls us jewels. Listen now, I want you to understand something. We're jewels in the eyes of God. We're the body of Christ. We're the blood washed, the blood poured. The church of God. The saved, the born again. We are the precious cargo that He's carrying. But then He's the precious captain that's driving the boat. We don't know how to drive a boat like He knows how to drive the boat. You know what? Right here, when Noah went to get on this thing, there wasn't no rudder for him to guide. There wasn't no handle for him to have. And there wasn't no steering wheel for him to drive that boat. All the Lord said was, "Noah, come down all thy house into the ark." And God shut the door. Do you know that they ain't a rudder or a helm for me and you to get a hold of? We want to take control of it a lot of times. We want to have control of it. But I'm going to tell you what. Hey, listen, the captain knows what we need. The captain knows how to weather every storm that old boat's going to go through. Let me ask you something. You ever been on a real boat out in the middle of the ocean or maybe in the lake or wherever on the river and be in the midst of waves? And so some of you have. Some of you just in it lately. Wasn't you, Brother Daniel? Jumping them. I remember we was out in the bay in Charleston one time, in Charleston, South Carolina. We was taking a ride around the bay, and most of y'all know that my wife deals with vertigo, Simon. And so here we are. Man, I'm telling you,
the wind was a-blowing, and that old boat, and I mean them waves in that bay, was just rocking back and forth. And you know, the higher you get up in a boat, the more that thing goes back and forth like this. You know what we learned? If you went down all the way to the bottom of that ship, and you stood right in the middle, that boat moved about like this right here. Why do you think Jonah was down there in the bottom of that boat? I'll just give you something to think about. There wasn't near as much going on in the bottom of that boat as there was in the top of that boat. Listen, I tell you what, can you imagine all the rocking and the rolling and the reeling back and forth, to and fro? I believe we say that the earth staggered like a drunkard man. When God brought the waters that busted up out of the deep, and from the top that it rained down. Listen, can you imagine what that boat went through? But as long as Noah was inside that boat, he was all right. Ain't that right? Listen now. The Free Will Baptists will have you driving pegs up on the outside of the ark and holding on. I ain't holding on, friend. I got in that boat a long time ago. You know what? It took me a long time, and I still struggle with this. It took me a long time to learn how to trust the captain. Listen, this ain't his first run through a storm. Can I tell you what the captain will do for you sometimes? Amen? Well, let me tell you what the captain will do. I shared this with my wife the other day, and listen, I spend most of my time by myself. Y'all know that. Pastor full-time here, and listen, a lot of times I'm just by myself. And there are times I need to be by myself. And then there's times I like being around people. My personality requires people. Now, you take my daddy, he could care less if he sees anybody for 2 weeks straight. He could care less. But now me, about 2 days is about as far as I want to go. And the other day, I was just in such a state of mind, and I wasn't in a real bad state. I've been a lot worse over the years, but listen, I didn't want to eat by myself. And everywhere I went, everywhere I turned, everybody was busy. And couldn't go eat, or couldn't do this, or couldn't do that. And I thought, well, all right, I'll go eat by myself. Now I'm going somewhere, stay with me. And so I went to a restaurant here in Athens, and I pulled in, and that's after I'd circled around and went to two or three other places. And I just couldn't get you. You'd think that I wouldn't pass up the Colonel, would you? I love the Colonel, man. But I didn't go to the Colonel. And so I went to the restaurant I was going to there finally, and I got in and I sat down. And I really appreciate the Lord. And I sat there and I got it's a buffet bar, and I got my meal, and I got sat down and I got to eating. And as I was eating, I looked up, and here come a deacon from another church that I know. And I thought, well, and here he come. And he come in, and he seen me, and he made a beeline right over to my table. He said, brother, you eating by yourself? I said, yeah, are you eating by yourself? He said, yeah. I said, sit down. And God just done something for me. Now, we sat there for about 45 minutes and talked about how good God was. That's all we done for 45 minutes. We talked about how good God is, talked about our churches, how good church is. Listen, God knows how to steer that boat. You say God done that? I believe He did. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You may not care about them little things, but I'm going to tell you, when you need them little things and He comes by, boy, it's a great big thing to you. But I want you to understand something. This is a precious captain. Just driving the boat. I thought about it again when he stood out there. Mark chapter 4, after he had told them, he said, get on the boat and go. We're going to go to the other side. Can I tell you, when you got on board this boat, the old ship of Zion, Jesus said, we're going to make it to the other side. You're going to make it, friend. Listen, if you're saved, you're going to make it. I'll guarantee you on the authority. Hey, you know what? The Bible said at one point that the boat was now full. Has your little boat ever got so full that you thought it was going to sink? You know, I believe the King James Bible that when it says full, that it meant full. F-U-L-L. I don't believe you could put any more water in it. Well, preacher, how did it float? Well, the captain was on board, wasn't it? Do you know that boat ain't going to go down with the captain on board? It ain't. Hey, listen, I'm going to get there one day after all. Why? Because of the captain. He's driving this thing, friend. Boy, if you ever get a hold of that, it'll do something for you. Noah had a hold of it. Noah got on board that boat. God shut the door. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when Noah shut that, or God shut that door? And you know, we look at them pictures,
And that thing is, you know, they say it's that when we see pictures, it's brown. Do you know that God told him to pitch that thing within and without? Can I tell you that that thing was just as black as midnight? You know what pitch is, don't you? No, it's pitch, it's tar. I mean, you can't get brown tar, it's black tar. Hey, can you imagine as he tarred that thing and here it goes floating through the dark of the night and lightning are cracking and everything's going on around him and he's probably wondering, I reckon this tar's going to hold. Reckon this pitch is going to hold. I mean, it's rocking and rolling. He don't know what's going on outside. You know what? There's a precious captain on board that boat that was guiding that thing everywhere that it went. Everywhere. Imagine the captain driving your boat today. Everywhere that it goes. Boy, he's a precious captain. And can I tell you this? This boat's got an anchor that'll hold when nothing else will hold. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6 that by two immutable things he's talking about. If you read that scripture, he's talking about Abraham over there, if I'm not mistaken. And he comes down here. Why Abraham had a hope. And why, me and you've got a hope. He says this, that by two immutable things in which it's possible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil. I got a hope. I got on that boat. You know why I got on that boat? Because I didn't have a hope. But boy, he came floating by one night and said, won't you get on board? I give you hope. Won't you get on board? At least that may be where you're at. You ain't got no hope, but I've got an anchor. I've got an anchor that's a hold, and I've got an anchor that'll hold on. Hey, listen, no matter what happens, no matter what storms come, I've got a hope, friend. I've got a hope. Amen, brother. Amen. Listen, now, you know what that hope is? That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my anchor today. Ain't that something? Listen, now, the Bible said right here that what? That hope is an anchor of the soul. It's not necessarily an anchor of my flesh, but it's an anchor of my soul. What's on the inside? I'm anchored off to Him today. Listen, you know what it's saying? Both sure and steadfast. You know, you get in a big enough storm in a boat, and you know what'll happen? You know what'll happen? That storm will drag that anchor on the bottom of the on the bottom of the water. It'll drag that anchor along with it. But you know what? When he set his anchor down, listen, we're anchored in him today. How about you? Do you have an anchor? I hope for you so. Listen, this boat's a flying the right color, ain't it? You know, them ships out in the ocean got to have flag on them. Do you know that? And when they come from another country and they come into our waters and they get ready to port, you know what they'll do? They'll ferry a captain out there, our captain, they'll ferry him out there. They'll take their flag down and they'll run our flag up. And they'll port under our colors. You know what we're going to port under one day? You know the colors we're under right now? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That flag that's being flown right now is just as blood red as blood can be, because it's His blood. Hey, the Bible said in Revelations 1 and 5, unto Him that loved me and washed me from my sins, His own blood. Thank God for that today. I'm just glad to be saved. I'm just glad to be flying under the right colors. Jesus said in Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He gave His blood. He gave His blood. Listen, we're flying under the right color. I heard Brother Mays Jackson preach this same message one time, and it's one of Mays's points right here. Listen, number 6, this thing's got a wireless telegraph system on it. What's that mean? What's that mean? It's got a wireless telegraph system on it. Boy, we can talk to heaven while we're on board that boat. Where was that wind at in Noah's ark? Why, it's up, wasn't it? You look at the pictures, a lot of times they'll draw windows out on the side. That thing only had one window, and it was put in the third story up above. When he pushed that window up and opened, what was the only place that he could do? He could only look up, couldn't he? Hey, can I tell you, that thing's got a wireless telegraph system on it. And me and you, while we're on board this ship, we can talk to heaven. Ain't that something? You ever had to talk to heaven? Hey, I'm asking you, have you ever prayed before? I have. Ain't you glad you can get in touch with heaven? Hey, Psalms chapter 65, the psalmist said over there, oh, thou that hearest my prayer. I thought about Miss Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She's talking about Samuel, her son. She said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." Listen today. You riding on board this boat, you can get in touch with heaven. You can call out to heaven today. Hey, the Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I thought about King Jehoshaphat. He's went into war with King Ahab. And what I mean is they made an alliance. And King Ahab said, "You go out there and look like the king, and I'm going to dress up just as a private over here and go out and fight." And so when here goes King Jehoshaphat, they're carrying him in his chariot out through there. He looks like the king. And the Bible said it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. You get on board this boat, you can kick that window open, and you can look toward heaven, and you can cry out and say, "Lord, here I am. I need some help." Can I tell you that he'll hear you if you're lost today? You can cry out and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to get saved today." I'm going to tell you, if you'll come, he'll save you and put you on board that boat and get you ready for heaven. Can I tell you this? Listen, it's got a tugboat that's going to bring us in one day. What do you mean, got a tugboat, preacher? You know, them big old ships has got to be tugged in. They got to be tugged in. You know, when it gets time to leave here, we got some tugboats that's going to take us in. What do you mean? The Bible said over in Luke chapter 16, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You know what? You leave here now, you got somebody that's going to help you get in one day after a while. David said in Psalms 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We don't have to worry about when it comes time to die. Death sometimes bothers me, even though I know a lot. It seems, I don't say I know a lot, but it seems like you see a lot and you read your Bible and you try to learn what death's all about and all those things. But I do know one thing. I know this for a fact, that when it comes time to die, he's going to come get me. I'll not have to cry. I thought about this. I was thinking about this morning on the way. After Absalom had run David off the throne, and he had been out in the wilderness all them times, and they finally want David to come back and be king, and David gets down there close to the Jordan River, and we liken death to Jordan. What did they send after David? Well, they sent him a fiery boat, didn't they? Can I tell you, when it comes time for us to cross Jordan, we'll be on a fiery boat. We won't have to worry about it. We won't have to worry about crossing Jordan alone. There'll be somebody there to help us. Bible said in Psalms 116, I thought about this message right here. I believe this is this verse, as I was looking at this point late yesterday, I thought about Brother Alvin. I did, as I was sitting in the hospital, and he passed away late in the middle of the night. And we were there in the ICU room, and Miss Carla looked at me after he had passed away. And she said, "Now you know you're going to have to preach his funeral." I said, "Yeah." And boy, it was just about like that right there. That the Lord come and he said that verse of our where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." You know, God's watching. God takes note. You think God's paying attention to you now? Wait till you get down there and get ready to go to the other side. Precious in the sight of... Did I not tell you we're precious cargo? Did I not tell you that God cares for us and watches over us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? Listen, we're precious to him. Bible said there in the book of Psalms, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." But when it gets time to cross, I know he's coming for me. I know he is. But you know what? There's coming a day when that boat is going to dock on the other side. And all those that are still here, we're going to step off that boat one day. After a while, we're going to lay this old flesh down. Listen to me now. We're going to lay this old flesh down, and he's going to have us. Thank God for that there. Then last of all, number 8, I'm about to finish. Boy, I preached as fast as I knew how this morning. Believe it or not, I'm preaching fast. I want to tell you, that ship has got a gangplank big enough to put anybody on it. There ain't nobody he'll turn away. It's wide enough, it's big enough that he could save the whole world. Hey, listen, did you know that all the world could have come and got on the boat, could have come and got on Noah's ark if they would have that day? Can I tell you, I believe that God left that door open for 7 days after Noah got on the boat. What is that? That's grace. That's grace. That's God's mercy and God's long-suffering. After Noah had preached for over 100 years saying, it's going to rain, get on the boat. It's going to rain, get on the boat. It's going to rain, get on the boat. After 100 years, over 100 years of that, 8 people got on the boat. But can I tell you, that boat would have held whoever would have got on it. That boat would have held whoever. Hey, can I tell you, the old ship of Zion will hold whoever gets on the boat. Revelation chapter 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He'll save anybody that'll come. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then one day, that precious captain carrying precious cargo that we've talked to heaven back and forth, that we've rode out the storms of life. You ever had to ride out a storm? You ever had to ride out a spiritual storm? You ever had, I'm serious, I preached over to nursing home Friday morning on, hold on, help's on the way. That's what I preached on. Sometimes you just got to hold on and wait for morning. Do you know that? Hey, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I tell you, you get on board that boat today and you'll have the best friend on that boat you ever had. You got somebody to ride it out with. You got somebody that cares for you and will love on you and take care of you and hug up on you and love on you. I know he's a real friend. Preacher, you're talking like you talk to him every day and you see him. I do. I do. Sometimes I feel closer to him than other times. Sometimes I ain't sure that if I'm getting through to heaven or not, but I know that he's watching me. I know. Why? How do you know that? I'm precious cargo. He saved me. I'm his. I'm his. How many of you mom and daddies is not going to watch him youngins? You're going to know where they're at. He's the same way with us. Can I tell you, if you've never been saved, that gangplank that puts you on that boat is big enough to put you on there. There's enough room on this boat to save the whole world. The old ship of Zion. You get on that boat, and it may be out in storm-infested waters, shark-infested waters. It may be in a place where it seems like that night's been for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, that's the best place for you to be because the captain is on board that ship. Let's bow our heads this morning. Listen, man, let's come and get us a verse of invitation. That ship's going to land in heaven one day. If you're on board, it'll land in heaven. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let me ask you something. Are you on board this ship? You on board this ship, the old ship of Zion? It's more of a revival message, I guess, this morning, more of a evangelistic message, but are you on board the ship this morning? Boy, I'm telling you, you can come and get on board if you're not on board today. Hey, can I tell you, if you're saved, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Hey, listen, you're precious to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He's watching over you today. He's keeping you. Listen, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've never trusted the Lord. Go ahead and start playing now, Brother Lewis, if you're ready. Maybe you're not saved today. Boy, today would be a good day for you to come. Realize what Jesus has done for you. Realize what Jesus has done. Listen, I'm going to pray. If you need to come, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help during this invitation. You know the needs. You know the needs this morning. And Lord, if there's somebody that needs to come, Lord, I pray they'll come this morning. And Lord, and get right. Come get saved. Lord, just realize that you're the captain. Lord, that we need to quit trying to drive the boat and just that we're on for the ride, that we're looking for the captain to take us home one day after a while. Lord, I'm glad I know there's coming a day when I'll be leaving. I'm going to be leaving. As the song says, all my troubles and cares are far behind. But I know this, Lord, that because you're the captain of that boat, the captain of that ship, I'm all right. I'm all right. I got on board a long time ago, Lord, because you asked me to. Now, Lord, you may be knocking on somebody's heart to come and get saved. Lord, would you let them get saved this morning? Let them come trust you. Lord, we love you. Would you help during this invitation? For these things in Jesus' name. Amen.